Hi everyone, today's Perek of Rambam is the fourth Perek of Hilchos Tefillin, Mezuzah v'Sefer Torah. In this Perek, the Rambam will finish up his discussion of the Tefillin, telling us many of the halachos with regards to how one's supposed to wear them, when one's supposed to wear them, where one's allowed to wear them, and the like. And he'll conclude the Perek with a very beautiful exposition of the great sanctity of the Tefillin, and how fortunate all of us are to be wearing Tefillin whenever we possibly can. Halacha Aleph. Hecha menichan tefillin shel rosh. Where are the tefillin shel rosh placed? You place the tefillin shel rosh on the skull, the place where the hairline ends, which is opposite the face, and that's the place where on a baby's head there is the soft spot. And it's also important in terms of that's where it's at the front of the head, but also it's supposed to be in the center of the head, which is in between the eyes. And as for the knot on the backside, so that's supposed to be at the top part of the neck, which is right at the end of the skull. Halacha Beis. V'shel Yad, as for the tefillin shel Yad, kosher osal smolo, you tie it on your left hand, al kiboris, on the bicep. V'ha basar hatofeach, and that's the flesh which sticks out, shebamar peik, which is on the arm, shebein perek kasef, ubein perek hazroa, between the shoulder joint and the elbow joint. Shenimsa kishahu medabek mar peiko litzolav, because that way, when he pulls his arm up to his ribs, so then the tefillin shel yad be placed up against his heart. And you fulfill that which the pasuk says that the tefillin shall be on your heart. Halacha Gimel. Hamaniach tefillah shel yad al pas yado o al rosh al mitzcho harei zeh derech tzedukim. If somebody places the tefillin shel yad on his hand, like on his palm, or he places it on his forehead, on his head, that's considered against the ways of the Jewish people. That's like the terrible heretics, the Sadducees, used to do. Ha'oset tefillah so agula ke'egos ein ba mitzvah klal. Also, if somebody makes his tefillin in the shape of a circle, it's circular at all, it's rounded like a nut, so then there's no mitzvah at all. Eter miniach tefillin bimino shu small shila. Where does a person who's a left-handed person place his tefillin? He puts it on his right hand, which is his left. And if he's ambidextrous, that he uses both hands equally. So then he follows the normal way of doing things for most people. The left hand is the actual left, and he therefore puts it on his left hand. And as for the place of the knot of the tefillin, and the place where they're supposed to be placed, like actual tefillin themselves on the body, so that we know through our Masorah, it's something which we have passed down, it's not explicit in the text of the Torah. Tefillah shel rosh, ein makevas shel yad, v'shel yad ein makevas shel rosh. The tefillin shel rosh and the tefillin shel yad do not prevent one another. In other words, if you only have one opportunity, you can still fulfill a mitzvah on its own. Because ultimately they are two different mitzvahs, one on its own and the other on its own, and therefore you can have them separately. How do you make the bracha on the tefillin? Al shel rosh mevarach asher k'shonu v'tzasav v'tivanu al mitzvahs tefillin. Al shel yad mevarach asher k'shonu v'tzasav v'tivanu lo haniach tefillin. Those are the respective brachos for either one of the tefillins. When is that true? That's when you only are putting on one of them. However, if you're putting on both of them, so then you only make one bracha of lehaniach tefillin, and that will suffice for both. That is different than the common minhag amongst the Ashkenazim nowadays, which is that we make both brachos nonetheless. And you tie on the tefillin shel yad first, and then afterwards you put on the tefillin shel rosh. However, when you remove the tefillin, you first take off the shel rosh, and then you take off the shel yad. Somebody who already made the bracha of the leniach tefillin, and then already tied his tefillin shel yad, he can't speak at that point, even to respond in greeting to his rebbe, until he puts on the tefillin shel rosh. And if he did speak during that time, then it's considered a transgression. And then you have to make a new bracha. You make the bracha al mitzvahs tefillin, which is respective, a special bracha for the tefillin shel rosh. And then you put on the tefillin shel rosh at that point. Halacha Zayin. Tefillin kol zman shemenichem mevarach aleihem. Tefillin, at any point when they're on him, he's able to make the bracha on them. This is true even if he removes them and puts them back on numerous times in the day. With regards to all mitzvot, the Rambam tells us an important general rule. You make the bracha prior to putting them on and prior to doing the mitzvah. So therefore, since it's supposed to be done immediately before you do the act of the mitzvah, so you put the tefillin shel yad on your bicep and you're prepared to tighten it, and then you make the bracha right before you tighten it. Shekshirasan zuhi asiyasan. Because the way to complete the mitzvah, the act of the mitzvah, is by tying them onto the hand. When a person takes off his tefillin in order to put them in their proper vessel, you shouldn't have the tefillin shel yad on the bottom, the rosh on the top, because then when you want to put them on, you're going to encounter first the tefillin shel rosh, and then he's going to have to put it aside, and then he'll take out the shel yad, since Ezra Rambam just taught us, you first put on the yad, then the shel rosh, and therefore you're going to have to put aside the shel rosh. And it's forbidden for a person to take one mitzvah and put it on the side, and to pass over the mitzvah acheres, to do another mitzvah. Rather, what should the general approach be? As soon as a mitzvah comes to your hands, so you're supposed to be involved with that mitzvah. Therefore, you're supposed to put the tefillin shel yad on top, so that way you'll encounter it first, and then that way you'll put them on in the proper order. A vessel which you've designated to place the tefillin in, and then you indeed put them in them, is kadesh. Now the kli is considered sanctified. And now you can no longer use the vessel for mundane matters. If you simply designated it but never put the tefillin in, or you had put tefillin in it without any designation, but you put them there once or twice without any real intent that this should be their permanent place, so then the kli has not been sanctified. This vessel can be used still for other mundane matters as it always had been. And it's forbidden to hang tefillin either from the ritzua or from the tefillin itself, like the actual box itself. However, you could have them inside of some sort of bag and then have that bag being hung from something else. The time for putting on tefillin is during the day and not at night. During the daytime. Chuka zuhi mitzvah tefillin. And this chuk, which it refers to, is referring to the mitzvah tefillin. Also on Shabbos and Yantif, you don't put on tefillin. You don't need another sign for our relationship with God on the days of Shabbos and Yantif because you already have them, and tefillin, therefore, is unnecessary. At what point is the time of putting them on? So what qualifies as day for this purpose? Once you see your friend at a distance of 4 amos away, roughly 6 to 8 feet, and you can recognize him, until sunset. If somebody put on tefillin prior to sunset, and then it got dark while he was wearing tefillin, even if he's wearing them all night long, mutter. Nonetheless, it's totally fine. However, we don't publicize this teaching to other people, to the public. We teach the people that generally they're not supposed to put on tefillin at night. Rather, they should take them off as soon as the sun sets. Anybody who puts on tefillin after sunset, at that point it's his time of putting them on, not simply that he was wearing them. So then he violates this negative command. And that was interpreted just before to mean that tefillin's time is specifically during the day. If somebody was on the road, and he's wearing his tefillin, and the sun sets, and then it was Shabbos, so in that case, so then he places his hand on top of them until he gets home, and then he takes them off. Hayoshi base medrash, who was sitting in his base medrash, he was learning Torah, who tefillin berosh, he's wearing his tefillin, and then it becomes Shabbos. Maniach yedo alein, asher magi leveso v'cholitz. Again, same process. Puts his hand on top of it until he gets back home, and then he removes them. V'im yish bayis samach l'choma, shemish tamrin bo, maniach ansham. If there's a place which is near the city walls, which they can be safely left, so then he's able to put them there. And if he didn't remove his tefillin once sunset because he doesn't have a better place to put them, there's nowhere there where they will be safe, so then he's allowed to have them kept on his head. Anyone who's exempt from Kriya Shema is also exempt from tefillin. A child, once he knows how to properly take care of his tefillin, so his father purchases for him a pair of tefillin, and then he will put them on in order to train him in mitzvos. Somebody who has some sort of intestinal disease, he's sick in his stomach, or somebody who's just in general not able to control his going to the bathroom, unless it would take much difficulty, exertion on his part, and he would be in a lot of pain. So then, such people are exempt from putting on tefillin. Anybody who is ritually impure, somebody who is tame, is still obligated to wear tefillin just as much as somebody who is pure. Somebody who is in a state of distress, he's not even properly focused, so patrimon tefillin, he's also exempt from tefillin, because somebody who is wearing tefillin, it's forbidden for him to have his mind distracted from them. Kohanim b'shas avoda, v'alavim b'shas omer mashir al adochan, v'yisrael b'shas omer b'mikdash, v'tur men tefila omer tefillin. Various people serving in this mikdash, the Kohanim, the Levim, and the Israelim, each involved in their own form of service in the base of mikdash, at the time when they were doing that service, so then they're pater to have to daven, and they're pater from having to put on tefillin. Halachi yadalet. Chayv adam l'mashmish b'tefilav kol zman shem alav. A person is obligated to constantly be playing with touching it, be aware of his tefillin as long as he's wearing them. Shelo yasiach taito mehem, in order that he not be distracted from them, afilu rega echad, even one moment. Shekdusha son kedol mikdash tzitz, because the sanctity of the tefillin worn by every adult Jewish male is even greater than that which is worn by the Kohen Gadol uniquely, the tzitz, the special crown that was on the Kohen Gadol. Shat tzitz ein bo ela shem echad, because on the tzitz there's only one name of God. Ve'elu yesh b'hem echad v'esrim shem shel yud hey. Bishel Rosh, Ukmos, and Bishel Yah. And the tefillin are greater in their sanctity because, while the tzitz has one name of Hashem, it has Kodesh L'Hashem on it. The tefillin have 21 names of Hashem, which have the Yud, K, Vav, K name of Hashem. And that's true with the Bishel Rosh, it's true Shel Yah, and therefore their sanctity is even greater. Lachates Vav. Tefillin Srichim Guf Naki, Sheyazayar Shelote Timen Ruach Mamata, Kolz Ma'at Shem Alav. Tefillin require one's body to be clean. What does that entail? It means that a person be careful not to flatly as long as he's wearing his tefillin. Because asr lishon behen, lo shnas keva, lo shnas arai. Therefore, it's forbidden for a person to sleep in the tefillin while he's sleeping for a long amount of time, or even just a short amount of time. Ela imen yach leim v'sudar, v'lo ha'isa imo isha, yashin behen, shnas arai. However, the Rambam does make one caveat, that if a person is going to place a cloth of sorts, a kerchief, on top of the tefillin, and he's also not with his wife, so then he's allowed to sleep with them a short amount of time, a temporary nap. Uketzad hu oseh, so how does he do so? Miniach rosho bein birkav, hu yoshev yashin. So the way of taking such a temporary nap, what it's defined as a temporary nap, is when he places his head between his knees, and he sits and he sleeps, because that's not a position where you'll sleep for a very long time. Halachetzad zayin. Hayu tefilav kruchin biyado, if his tefillin were bound up in his hand, mucho lishon behen, so then he's allowed to sleep with them, afilu shnas kev, even a lengthy sleep. However, you can't eat while you're wearing tefillin a real meal. You can only have a small, short snack. However, if you are entering to have a real meal, so then you take off the tefillin, put them on the table, until you wash your hands, then you put them back on again, and you make the blessing on your food, and then that way you'll be wearing your tefillin when you make that. If somebody was wearing tefillin, he needed to go to the bathroom. He shouldn't take off his tefillin and place them in these holes which were near the Rosh Hashanah, and then he'll go to the bathroom. Because maybe people passing by will take the tefillin. So Kate said, yeah, so what should he do in that scenario? He can't go into the bathroom wearing his tefillin, can he? So we explain. Even if he just needs to urinate, he takes off his tefillin a distance of 4 amos away, and he wraps them up in his clothing, come in safer Torah, as if it was a safer Torah, but ochazan bimino keneged libo, and then he holds it in his right hand opposite his heart. V'yizahir kedei shelo tehei ritzua yotzatz mitachas yodot tevach. He has to be careful that even a strap not stick out below his hand, one tevach's worth, roughly 3 inches. V'nechnas v'osat tzrachim, and then he goes to the bathroom, v'kshiyitze, and when he leaves, markik arba amos, he goes 4 amos away, v'yizahkise, away from the place, v'yizahkise v'ilosha, and then he puts on his tefillin. This is with regards to a set bathroom, a place where there won't be any urine dripping onto him. But if it's not a set bathroom, he shouldn't enter with the tefillin, even when they're rolled up. Rather, he should take them off and give them to his friend to guard them. The urine is only assumed to be destroyed, it will go away when you're dealing with beis hakisei kavua, if you are sitting down when you go to the bathroom. And if there was a set amount of dirt already placed there, softened, ready to be urinated in, so then we assume that it will absorb the urine and it won't splash around and chas v'shalom get on its tefillin. So in that case, you would be allowed to urinate even while standing up. Hamakom kosher yamod b'makom midron kedei shelo yinatzu yotos olav. If a person was standing in a place where the ground was very hard as opposed to soft to absorb the urine, so he should stand in a slanted spot so that way the droplets of urine won't sprinkle onto him. Alchiyotas. Ha'ilavash b'tefillin. If somebody was wearing tefillin, ha'chorach b'etzak, he said he needed to go to the bathroom late erev, it was evening time. Lo nishar min hayom kedei lavshan achar sheyetze, and there won't be enough time left in the day to put the tefillin back on after he comes out of the bathroom. Lo yikones b'hem gilulim b'bigdo. He shouldn't enter into the bathroom with them wrapped in his clothing. Even to urinate merely in a set bathroom. So what should he do instead? Rather, he should take them off and put them in their proper vessel. If it had a tefach's worth to the vessel, or if it's a kli which is not the place where you normally place them, even though it's less than a tefach, and then he can go and carry that vessel with it in his hands, and he can go to the bathroom with them. And also, if he needs to go to the bathroom at night, money can be cleaved, so then he takes off his tefillin and places them into their vessel. And the same rules apply. He brings the cleave with him, assuming it's the proper size, and can go to the bathroom that way. If a person entered into the bathroom and didn't realize that he was still wearing tefillin, he only realizes once he's already there, he places his hand on top of the tefillin until he finishes the first passage of the excrement or the urine from his body, and then once he has a pausing point, so then he gets up and he takes off his tefillin. And then afterwards he goes back and he completes going to the bathroom. But because the reason why he's allowed to continue that first expulsion from his body is because if he were to stop in the midst of that, whether he was having excrement leave his body or urine leave his body, because if he tries to stop in the midst of it, it can lead to a terrible disease, and therefore it's better to avoid it and unfortunately have to have the tefillin on during that first issue. If somebody forgot that he was wearing tefillin and he had intercourse, he had relations, so a person should not take the tefillin then with his hands until he washes them. He shouldn't hold them by their straps, he shouldn't hold them by the actual box, until he washes his hands, because we assume the hands were all over the place and therefore might be dirty, and we don't want to ruin the tefillin. If somebody enters into a bathhouse, in a place where people are still standing their dress, the outermost part of the bathhouse, then it's permitted to put on his tefillin in that place. However, he goes further in and people are partially dressed, partially not dressed, so he doesn't have to take off his tefillin at that point, but he also shouldn't put tefillin on initially, ideally in that place. If it's a place where the people are standing naked, then he has to take off his tefillin. It goes without saying that he's not supposed to put them on. A person shouldn't walk through a cemetery and have his tefillin on his head. Even within 4 amos, roughly 6 to 8 feet, of a dead body or of a grave, until he distances himself 4 amos away from them, he has to take off his tefillin. A person also shouldn't put on his tefillin until he is dressed, that he's covered up his private parts, and he puts on his clothing. A person who has a burden on his head, he's supposed to take off his tefillin to Rosh before he puts this burden on his head. And once he takes the burden off, then he's able to put them back on. And even to wear any sort of handkerchief or the like over his head is considered inappropriate while he still is wearing tefillin. However, you are able to wear a hat over your tefillin. Halacha Chaf Dalet. By sheish bo tefillin or sefer Torah, a room that has tefillin or a sefer Torah in it, asur l'shamish bo mitaso, ad yotzeim o yanichim b'kliv, and yach ha'kli b'kli achar sheino kelyon. It is forbidden to have relations in that room until he removes the sefer Torah or tefillin, or he puts them into a vessel, and then that vessel into another vessel, which isn't their set vessel. But if that second kli is one which is designated for them, then if it was 10 vessels, they all count as one, and therefore it's not considered a breakage between the person having intercourse and the tefillin or the sefer Torah. And if you put one item inside of another item, mutter l'anichan tachas mero shosav, bein kar l'keses, shelo k'neged rosho, k'dei l'shamran, afilu ishto imo b'mita. It is also permitted then, if they're inside of one kli within the other kli, to place them beneath your head, under the pillow, between the blanket and the pillow, or the like, because then if your goal is to protect them and they're already inside of a vessel in a vessel, then it's okay, even if your wife might be present and therefore the possibility of intercourse is a real one. So nonetheless, you're allowed to have the tefillin there. You're just tefillin kushasan gidola he. The sanctity of the tefillin is indeed very, very great. Shekoz ma'at tefillin rosh sha'adam v'al zroo hu anav v'irei shamayim ve'enu nimshach b'schok b'sicha v'teila ve'enu mahar machshavos rose and the final libo b'divrei ha'emes v'atzedek. Because all the while that tefillin are on a person's head and on his arm, he is humble. He fears God. He's not drawn after lightheadedness and laughter and foolish chatter. He doesn't think about things which are bad. Rather, he clears his mind, he empties his heart to focus solely on matters of truth and justice. Therefore, a person should endeavor, he should try his very best to have tefillin on him all day long because of all the benefits that they offer, as the Rambam just explained. Because really, their mitzvah applies all day long. They used to say about the great Rav, one of the greatest of them, O Ram, the Talmud of Rebbe, that all his life, they never saw him walk four amos without being engaged in Torah study or wearing his tzitzis or without wearing his tefillin. Nonetheless, even though their mitzvah is to ideally wear them all day long, the most important time to wear tefillin, the very best time, is during prayer, during tefillah. Chazal taught us, anybody who recites Kriya Shema, which discusses the parsha of tefillin, and is not wearing tefillin, it is as if he has testified false testimony about himself. And anybody who doesn't put on tefillin over b'shmona aseh, he's over on eight different positive commands. Because in all four of the different passages, it commands us, the Torah commands us, to wear tefillin shel rosh and tefillin shel yad. So thus, 2 times 4 is 8. That anybody who wears tefillin properly, does so regularly, it's part of his life, so then he will have elongated days, as well as success, Hashem is upon them, and they will live. Wow. Nothing more needs to be said. The Rambam has very beautifully concluded this discussion of tefillin to make us appreciate truly how special a privilege it is for all of us that have the opportunity to put on tefillin every single day. We might not wear it all day long, but even that short span of time where we do wear it during our tefillah, which is, as the Rambam told us, the most important part, then we should all be able to take from it the elements of humility and Yirat Shamayim to carry us through the rest of the day. Have a great, great day.